You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. Need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort support serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our subject is the microbiome and the benefits of a certain type of probiotic. Well, it's not really a probiotic. It's three things in one. It's a pre, pro, and postbiotic in one. That's Dr. Heer's Probiotic. Find out about Dr. Heer's Probiotics at essentialformulas.com. With us today, Ross Pelton, who, by the way, you just updated your ebook on the subject of the microbiome, right?
Right, that's true. Yeah. People, Essential Formulas website, or they can go to my my website, naturalpharmacist.net/over. Get a free copy with titled Dr. Heer's Probiotics and Postbiotic Metabolites.
Okay, so this postbiotic metabolites, can we break it down into there are literally thousands of them, but can you break them down into certain categories? I mean, what do they do functionally?
Sure. It's a number of different categories. One that I like to really emphasize: in a healthy microbiome, your bacteria will produce postbiotic metabolites that are classified as antimicrobial peptide. They're small, little short chains of amino acids that have antibiotic activity only against pathogens. They don't harm your good bacteria. They inhibit or kill pathogens. And so this is an important part of your immune system, the natural antibiotics that are produced by your bacteria. You're eating a healthy diet that allows the bacteria to get the dietary fibers and polyphenols that they need. Another really, I think, important thing to emphasize to people, Dr. Hoffman, where 70% of the immune cells in your body reside in the gastrointestinal tract. People have bacterial imbalance and dysbiosis, and everything gets out of balance from antibiotics, bad diets, and so forth. One of the first things that suffers is people's immune system. Important for people to understand how critical it is. Be proactive and take steps to create and maintain a healthy gut microbiome.
I could think of a couple of specific use cases for this. For example, when I travel, I take along some extra Dr. Heer's. And the reason being is, you know, if I'm on a cruise ship or if I'm in a, you know, foreign country where, you know, issues of sanitation may be a little sketchy, there's a tendency to get traveler's diarrhea, you know, as so often happens on cruise ships. But it's interesting. It is, even with the most potent pathogen, you know, there are various viruses, there are various bacterial organisms that sometimes are responsible for these mini epidemics on cruise ships. It's only, you know, maybe 30% of the passengers, you know, at most, maybe half of the passengers who get sick, and a certain percentage of the passengers are protected. And I speculate that it has to do with their intestinal immune system. And also, you know, especially since older people are traveling a lot these days, they have the disposable income and the time to do travel, so it's kind of a senior thing. Their immune systems may be suffering from immunosenescence, you know, kind of a gradual breakdown of immunity, but also many are taking acid blocking drugs. And I really wish they did a study on, like, what are the characteristics of the people who stay well from the standpoint of their microbiome and their intestinal immune system?
versus the people who are susceptible to these infections.
Good point, Dr. Ryan. And
let me just kind of go off on that and get into a little bit more detail about what you've just brought up. Issue with the acid blocking drug, the antiacids and the H2 blockers and the proton pump inhibitors. So I want to talk about the acid base level in a healthy gut microbiome. And I use an analogy, and the analogy is temperature. On planet Earth, we know that temperature is a really critical regulator for the health of plants and animals and humans. In the gut microbiome, it's the level of acidity that regulates gut microbiome ecosystem. And the optimal, most healthy acid base level is just weakly acidic.
Mm-hmm.
pH of 7 is neutral point. A healthy gut microbiome is pH 6.2 to 6.8. So just weakly acidic.
Oh, yeah.
People, how do you think you'd get, how do you create, how do you maintain this weakly acidic environment that's optimal for the growth of your probiotic bacteria? Well, it turns out a number of the postbiotic metabolites are weakly acidic compounds. There's short-chain fatty acids, the propionic acid and acetic acid and butyric acid, and then there are organic acids and nucleic acids, then amino acids and fulvic acids. All these compounds are weakly acidic, and they're created by your bacteria to maintain the healthy ecosystem only if you eat a plant-based diet or provides the things that the bacteria need to create these compounds. And sadly, most people are not doing that.
Indeed. Then there are other compounds which have sort of a healing or reparative effect on the gut wall.
You bet. That's a big issue, because when you have bacterial imbalance, you get gut inflammation. The inflammation comes because the bad bacteria also produce metabolites, but the reason bad bacteria are bad, their metabolites are highly inflammatory. They really irritate and damage the lining of the gastrointestinal system, and that breaks down what we call the intestinal barrier and allows harmful things to leak into your systemic circulation. And they go to your heart and your liver and your brain and skin. And so people get a lot of health problems when the gut barrier starts to break down and be destroyed. And that happens from inflammation, when bacterial imbalance is too many bad bacteria and not enough good bacteria. Problem that people need to understand and know how to address. And taking high dose oral probiotic does not fix the problem. I use another analogy, Dr. Ron, in the Amazon rainforest, and I compare this to the human gut microbiome, to complex, diverse ecosystems on the planet. And I show a slide where they've clear-cut the Amazon. All the trees have been cut down, and I make the point, you can't just put the inhabitants back into a damaged ecosystem and expect to fix the ecosystem. If you put ants and birds and bees and butterflies and snakes and monkeys back into a clear-cut Amazon rainforest, those animals won't thrive and survive, and they're not going to help the trees go back. It's the same with the human gut microbiome. Just putting high-dose probiotics into a damaged or a dysbiotic microbiome isn't going to fix the problem. It's a healthy diet and these postbiotic metabolites in Dr. Ahira's that will jumpstart trying to change all these problems and shift them in the healthy direction.
I'm meaning to ask you this, Ross, because these days, one of the new trends in probiotics is emphasis on Akkermansia species. They seem to be all the rage. And I'm sure, you know, you're on the lecture circuit.
Sure.
And you've got a lot of questions. And so, you know, Akkermansia being present in people who seem to be in good health. So it's an index of good health. So the notion is if we give people Akkermansia, which is tough to do because these are anaerobic bacteria, they're not very viable when they're exposed to oxygen. But people are taking Akkermansia supplements in an effort to restore intestinal balance, but also with a view towards metabolism, blood sugar control. What's your take on that?
My take, Dr. Ron, is that is a beneficial strain of bacteria. But I think the benefits from Acromantia come from the metabolites that that strain of bacteria create. It's not the bacteria, it's the compound the bacteria create that have a wide range of health benefits. So I'm looking into that. I'm trying to find out if anybody's done the research to kind of isolate and find out what postbiotic metabolites are created by Acromantia.
Yeah, and one of the controversies that surrounds Acromantia is that the full name of Acromantia is Acromantia mucinophilia, which, you know, philia means like somebody is a Francophile, you know, someone who likes French people, or an Anglophile. And so mucinophilia, it likes mucus. But some people say that it actually devours mucus. It's Acromantia subsists to some extent on mucus and may deplete or damage the mucus layer. I mean, look, I think a lot of these controversies remain unsolved at this point, but have you looked at some of that literature and the back and forth on that subject?
I have, Dr. Ron, and I think one of the most important things for people to understand is balance and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Balance and diversity is central to the health of virtually all ecosystems on the planet. And so when things are in balance, Acromantia can consume a little bit of the mucus in the gut lining for energy, but if things get out of balance, it consumes too much and can break it down and create problems. And similarly, these high-dose probiotic. Mine's got 10 billion. Mine's got 50 billion. Mine's got 100. Mine's got 200 billion.
Yeah, that like a body count kind of thing. Yeah.
It's working again, balance and diversity. So people are really being misled about the oral probiotic. And it's similar with prebiotic. More and more companies are starting to put a prebiotic into their formula. Get that term on the label. What they're missing is the importance of diversity.
Yeah.
It's not one or several prebiotic. You have to consume a lot of the plant food. So I ask people, have you consumed 10 or 12 or 15 different types of fruits and vegetables today? Almost nobody. You've got to get that diversity of plant-based compounds to do that. And that's what Dr. O'Hara's supply. Many different types of Japanese fruits and vegetables and mushrooms and seaweed that are used in the fermentation vat over this multi-year fermentation process that allows the production of over 500 postbiotic metabolites.
You know, and I've heard the complaint from some people who take these Acromantia supplements that they get diarrhea from the supplements. And part of the reason is that they do include a prebiotic because, in effect, they want to feed or encourage the proliferation of the Acromantia. So they include something called inulin. Inulin is derived from chicory. It's an insoluble fiber, which means it is what is called a FODMAP, something that you avoid if you have irritable bowel syndrome. And some people are fine with it, and it has a bit of a mild laxative effect. Other people get gas, bloating, and diarrhea from it, so they don't tolerate these supplements. So what you're saying is, again, this is an argument for diversification. I mean, if you really amp up one type of prebiotic without a balance among the different types of prebiotics, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Well, you're right, Dr. Ron, and let me toss in one other that pertains to what we're talking about here. You're probably familiar with the term SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah.
It's a really unique situation where it's not necessarily due to bad bacteria. The bacteria from the colon have backed up into the distal end of the small intestine, and certain types of food will be fermented that are now residing in the wrong housing development. They're living in the small intestine instead of the colon. And when they do the fermentation process, they produce gas and bloating and all sorts of pain and discomfort. And so many people with SIBO cannot consume a lot of different types of food that would normally be thought of as healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
The bacteria will ferment them. Conversely, many people with SIBO can successfully take Dr. O'Hara's because Dr. O'Hara's does not have massively high bacterial counts. It's mostly delivering the postbiotic metabolite.
Mindy, and that's something that I've noticed, because it used to be like, I would diagnose SIBO and I said, lay off any kind of probiotic. But then I kind of said, well, you know, maybe Dr. Hira, try it. You know, it's gentler. And it is mostly well-tolerated even by people with SIBO. So let's clarify. Bacteria belong in the large intestine. There's a valve between the large intestine and the small intestine that's supposed to keep stuff down river from the small intestine, which is above the large intestine. And the small intestine is not supposed to have, I mean, it has some bacteria, but it's not supposed to have, you know, by many zeros.
1/1,000.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. And when that valve is incompetent, or when there's an overproliferation of bacteria in the large intestine, it backs up to the small intestine where it doesn't belong, and that causes a lot of gas and bloating and sometimes diarrhea. And occasionally, paradoxically, constipation with a certain type of bacteria that kind of put the brakes on peristalsis. So, so Ross, you get your hands on virtually every paper that comes out about the microbiome. And now that probably is like dozens every week. This is science is really on fire. I mean, it is the knowledge is proliferating. What are the limitations? Are we making progress in understanding the microbiome, or are we still a long way off from understanding just how to properly tune it up?
Well, I think we've made a lot of progress. We're continuing to make progress. The new DNA sequencing technology has just been a quantum leap in our ability to identify what bacteria are present. The next wave or the next frontier in the microbiome, identifying the name of the compounds that the bacteria create, and beyond that, starting to identify which types of food are preferred by different strains of bacteria so they can optimally produce these health-regulating postbiotic metabolites. That's the direction I'm trying to get the research to go, to get deeper and deeper into compounds that the bacteria create, what particular strains of bacteria are more effective at producing these postbiotic metabolites, and what types of food are most beneficial.
So that sounds like the emphasis, we seem to have licked the problem of understanding the different bacterial populations, but what we need is what is called metabolomics, which is to understand the chemical composition of the various myriad compounds which are elaborated by these bacteria in the gut, and understanding them.
Exactly. But again, people can jumpstart this process just by taking Dr. Hira's probiotics and get over 500 of health-regulating postbiotic metabolites. And one thing I emphasize in my discussions about this, paradigm shifts take time. A new idea in science doesn't automatically get accepted. So it's taking people a while to understand that it's not so much orally ingested probiotic that regulates their health. It's a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle, and directly consuming these postbiotic metabolites, like Dr. Hira's probiotic, really helped to accelerate the creating and maintaining the healthy microbiome.
And I think we're going to see some advances with a new tool, which is machine learning and AI, because I used to look at stool tests, and I would see like all this information, and my head would swim. I would say, my brain doesn't have the computing power to figure out what all this means. I mean, when you identify, 20 different species, and you say this one's good, this one's bad, but what you can do with AI is you can do pattern recognition. You can see certain patterns, and then you can associate them with certain conditions. So, for example, they have discovered that there's a certain pattern that is fairly predictive of the risk for Parkinson's disease, which is interesting. That's the gut-brain connection. And, fairly reliably, you can, on a basis of a stool test, using AI to understand all the, multitude of different interactions, you can say, this is a person that has a certain, you can't say for sure, but you can say this is a risk factor. This puts person at risk.
They've done the same thing, Dr. Ron, for Alzheimer's disease.
Well,
gut microbiome and the the feces of people with Alzheimer's disease is radically different than people of the same age that don't have Alzheimer's disease. So they're starting to look at that whole relationship.
Yeah, and that's actually quite interesting because there is no reliable MRI that can diagnose Alzheimer's disease. You certainly can't do a brain biopsy because, I mean, that would be the ultimate test on a living person. There are blood tests that with some reliability can predict. But I think stool tests actually have the potential to help us predict a wide range of diseases. And I really look forward to the day when, go to a doctor's office and they draw your blood, they take a urine sample, and then you leave a stool sample, and then they come up with all kinds of information that can help you forestall health problems.
You're absolutely right. That's the frontier of medicine.
Indeed. I think it's very promising. But look, meantime, we haven't figured out everything with precision medicine, but with Dr. Harris, I think there's some strength and plausibility that derives from the fact that this is a traditional product, that this is actually comes out of an ancient tradition that was brought into the modern era by the self-same Dr. Ahira, who kind of like said, okay, what is the secret sauce that all these healthy people are enjoying from traditional fermented foods? And therefore, he then formulated something that's a little bit more modern guise, not some, miso paste or some, disgusting tasting natto that, doesn't appeal to Western audiences.
Yeah, it took Dr. Hura 10 years to develop the multi-year fermentation system that he's now famous for. Experimented with different strains of bacteria. For starter strains, there's 13 different strains of bacteria that used in the fermentation vat to start the process, along with all the different types of Japanese fruits and vegetables and mushrooms and seaweed. And now it's a very well thought of product, worldwide recognition.
Indeed. And let's dispel something right here because, Japan had the nuclear disaster, the Fukushima thing, and people, have taken a jaundiced look at products that come from Japan because, some radiation leaked into the ocean or something like that. And, can you dispel the concerns that people might have that impacted the production of Dr. Hira's?
The Fukushima nuclear disaster happened in northern Japan. And the Okoyama production process for Dr. Hughes is located in southern Japan. Biobank, which is the company Dr. Ohira created for the production of his product, every single day posted the radiation level at the plant level in southern Japan. And there was no problem whatsoever because in northern Japan, where the nuclear event occurred, the wind to the east and took things out over the ocean, but they didn't impact southern Japan.
Right. There's a real strong wind that blows out of Siberia, and the result is that the northern lines of Japan have ski resorts, but it blows east to west and doesn't carry any dangerous substances or radiation. Well, people are nitpickers when it comes to the quality and safety of products. So I just wanted to bring that up and dispel that concern. All right. So, we just mentioned that these products are available from essentialformulas.com. The Dr. Hira's products also, they're on my website at drhoffmanstore.com. You can also obtain them at many retail stores that carry natural products, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, Sprouts, etc. And you want information, just go to essentialformulas.com. They'll sell you the products too directly, won't they?
Bet.
Okay. And that for the ME3 products, they may be less reliably stocked in retail stores. So you may have to go to the website to track them down. And there are three. Right.
There's actually four ME3 products. They're Detox and Liver Health, Immune and Vitality, Cardio Wellness, and then the fourth one is just called Essential ME3.
Okay. Which is the probiotic.
With no other supplemental ingredients, right?
Okay, great. All right. Anything else that we haven't covered? And, you know, I'm sure that in 4 or 6 months' time, we'll have more developments on the microbiome front to cover with you. But
I do, and I'm going to have one that I'll toss out right now that we'll cover next time.
Great.
Cover that the brain has its own microbiome.
What?
Yep. And so when you have gut problems, you also have problems with the blood-brain barrier.
Okay.
Some of the harmful things that are leaking into systemic circulation are getting into the brain. And they're now, I've read a number of reports on this, and I'm starting to make slides and write about it. But I think that are seen in the brain of Alzheimer's disease patients are the body's defense mechanism to try to engulf and contain these bacteria that have gotten into the brain.
Wow.
That's a whole new fascinating story.
Whoa. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, the most sterile part of the body that's completely shielded from any bacterial invasion. And, you know, so of course there are things like encephalitis, meningitis. That's when bacteria get in the brain. It's, you know, life-threatening. But short of that, there are sort of low-grade inflammatory conditions that may be triggered by like minimal stealthy invasion of the brain.
Like lipopolysaccharides in your gut, and when they get absorbed into your systemic circulation, they're some of the most highly inflammatory substances that have ever been known. And so they create chronic inflammation system-wide when you have just a little bit of them leaking into your system through a damaged gut lining.
Well, I must commend you, because you're not content to rest on your laurels. You know, you've written a ton on this, and you've been a pioneer in helping us understand the microbiome, but you're always on top of the latest innovations and trends in this important field that is rapidly developing. So we'll need an update from you soon. So thanks very much for joining us. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Great conversations, as usual, with our guest, Ross Pelton. And Ross has his own website, naturalpharmacist.net. Lots of information there. We'll reconvene with you soon. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.